This is a replay of the Wednesday night, August 30th WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593. My toll-free number from OneVoIP for the world's best customer service. It's OneVoIP. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. We got 3 hours to spend together, plenty on my mind, but whatever is on yours will absolutely trump that. But last night I teased a couple times we're going to talk about cars and we never got around to it. Yeah. Instead we're talking about music and other things. And that's always fun. So feel free to call on whatever's on your mind. 888-876-5593. That's 8888 Raleigh. Well, interestingly, if you look at cars overall, all makes, all models on the lots right now, they're actually on the lots 10 days longer this year than last year. As an aggregate average, the average car, 48.2 days on the lot before it sells. And last year at this time, it was 38.4, but about 10 days. All right. And that's all cars. Well, let's look at this year and what's hot and what's not. And it's interesting because there are a few cars that move within 10 days. Number one, the Toyota Grand Highlander Hybrid, just 9.2 days. Now, that's not terribly surprising. It's number two that was surprising to me because who is going to spend $149,241 on average on an SUV? Well, apparently Range Rover vehicles are just going like hotcakes. They spend a little over 10 days on the lot before they go. Now, what I don't know and what skews this, of course, is how many are made and how many are on the average lot, and I know that. So this is more for just fun. But what I found interesting is what lingers, what is on the lot longer than 90 days, and in fact, what is on the lot longer than anything, and it sort of surprised me. Now, when I first said, what is the worst selling car, I think Adam came up with like the Pacer or the Pinto. Yeah, all good choices, the Nova, you know, those kind of things. And historically speaking, I would see why all of those are worthy contenders. But we're talking about cars that are on the market now. Now, what's the really sad part about cars on the market back in the day? We all know what dogs, the Pacer and the Nova and the Pinto and all that were. They were not particularly bad selling at the time. All right, well, so what's on the lot longer than 90 days? Oh, let's just say longer than 100 days, shall we? Well, the Lincoln Aviator's on the lot for 105 days. The Mazda Miata, not a good seller, on the lot for 107 days. And that's a cute little car. I think there's two problems with it. One, they're noisy as hell, and they're also underpowered. The Mustang. And I don't know if that's all Mustangs, you know, because it comes in several flavors now. On the lot, an average of 108 days. The Buick Envision on the lot for 117. I have no idea what that even is, which is really sad to say. The Land Rover Discovery Sport. So the Land Rover Rover may be doing well, but the Land Rover Discovery is not, 119 days. But what car is on the lot longer than anything else in America? At 128.7 days, yeah, over 4 months, the Jeep Cherokee. Now, interestingly, other Jeeps are good sellers, but the Cherokee, No, not a chance. So there you go. That's days on the market at the moment. And again, in reality, anybody who teaches statistics would just slay me for even bringing this up, because we're not giving you any information on, you know, how many cars are available, how many were made, you know, all that kind of stuff. But just for fun, looks like that Jeep Cherokee is not doing well this year. So now what I do know is that there is a real push to get you to buy cars, not so much by the car manufacturers. That's probably true. I don't keep track of those commercials, but I can tell you this. Credit card companies, it seems like in the last couple months, all of them are sending out those notices. We'll refinance your car. We got a special deal right now, up to $45,000, and on it goes. Of course, up to $45,000, a lot of these cars won't cover the price. But that begs the next car fact in mind here. What is the cheapest? Yeah, we should say least expensive car, new car. You know, there was a day not that long ago, less than 5 years ago, where you could choose from about a dozen new small cars for under $20,000 in America. Now there's only one car retailing for under $20,000. And that's the Mitsubishi Mirage. And that may be going away as well. Why? Because it seems like America wants SUVs and trucks rather than anything else. But the current version of the Mirage last month sold for an average of $19,205. And so I don't know what that is either, but in case you're looking around. I did notice this year, just anecdotally, seeing more colors. You know, for a while there, it seemed like every car was black or it was silver or maybe it was white. And that was pretty much it. But now I'm seeing more colors. So maybe that's a trend. I don't know. So we got that. But the other thing that I had brought up yesterday and never got to was all of Toyota's assembly plants in Japan are shut down. What did it? Well, it had nothing to do, by the way, there's 28 assembly plants that Toyota has in Japan, and 28 assembly lines, I should say, 14 actual plants. So 28 lines over 14 locations in Japan, all shut down. Why? Computer problems. Yeah. Apparently, the system that dealt with incoming auto parts, you know, needed to build these things, was missing in action, and they didn't believe. I don't know when it's going to be back up, but it was earlier this week. They didn't believe it was in any way a cyber attack, and so this, of course, isn't helping with the shutdown of computer chips and other stalled parts and things of this nature. Actually, the chips shortage in Japan was starting to ease a bit, and all of a sudden, man, all of the computers just down. So that was this week. I haven't heard an update on that. Also, haven't yet gotten much of a firsthand update on what the full moon, which, by the way, as you know, was a blue moon, blue because there were two in the same month, and there was one at the beginning of the month, and now the one today, how that did on Florida. But much like last night, like I said, looking at everything, this will be in the Big Bend area where it hits Florida. And it was, by the way, a little north of where they expected, but still firmly in the Big Bend area. And then as it goes inland, it'll weaken tremendously, which is exactly what has happened. But this was a water storm, no doubt about it. In fact, some of the indicators in the Gulf that they look at, things posted on buoys and stuff like that, there was one that recorded a 34-foot wave. Yeah. Now, that was not at the shore, but that was not all that far from it. So definitely a water storm. And it came in at a little island. I'm trying to think of the name of that island now. I know exactly where it is, which is pretty remote and not terribly visited. It's got like a state park there and stuff like that. And there are some of the pictures, though. Yeah, it was a water storm. No doubt about that. So hopefully we've got Savannah, I guess, bracing. But I'm not even sure it'll be much of a tropical storm by the time it actually hits Savannah. So last I heard, sustained winds were coming down to closer to 100 miles an hour, if that. So good luck to Savannah. And then, of course, it'll probably go out to sea. And then it's anybody's guess. It could strengthen. It could go to Bermuda. You know, we'll see. So 888-876-5593 is 8888. Raleigh, of one thing I'm sure, and only one thing, if you listen to the show, you're a radio lover, or you probably couldn't put up with much of our conversation. And if you are, well, I'm pretty sure you know about the Sea Crane Company, but did you know that right now they're having a 10% off sale off your entire purchase, no matter what you buy, of $75 or more? That's a nice sale, because the Sea Crane Company doesn't usually do that. The prices are usually what they are. Well, 10% off is nice, and you might want to look at that CC Radio 3, the almost everything radio, with the addition of Bluetooth. You've got an immense palette of radio shows and podcasts available from any smartphone and around, and I'll tell you what, it's going to sound a lot better on the CC Radio 3, because it's got a terrific speaker, and the audio is nice. If you're a talk show listener, voice content, it's obviously worth the price alone. Sounds like I'm right next to you. Well, maybe that's not so good, depending on how much you like the show. But whatever it is you do like, you're going to hear it with full fidelity, separate set bass and treble controls, and you can do all sorts of tweaking with that. But like all the Sea Crane products, the one thing they all have in common is great reception, FM and AM. Best AM reception on the market, no doubt about that. Probably true for FM too, but AM, as you know, is really lackluster in most situations. Well, not with Bob Crane. He should be knighted for this. It's just terrific. So, in fact, you put the average radio next to the CC Radio 3, or the 2E for that matter, and tune to a weak station, and man, I'll tell you what, it'll just blow the average radio out of the water. In fact, you'll hear things that you won't even hear on a lot of radio. So it's good reception. Runs on the included power cord. You can also use a set of batteries for over 170 hours. So it's really great. It's got a digital readout. It's got a little dial light, which is nice. And it's got presets. And it's got the emergency band, too, as well. NOAA weather and the 2-meter ham band. So it's a terrific radio. And right now it's 10% off. So go to ccradio.com anytime. ccradio.com. If you can't go online, the sale is just as good by phone, and they've got wonderful customer service. That's 800-522-8863, 800-522-TUNE, ccradio.com. Look at that Sea Crane, the CC Radio 3. You tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Uniques. Yes, Joe Stampley's group on Paula. 1967 came out as a single and just a wonderful song, Every Now and Then I Cry. It was on this date in 1966 that the Uniques were on Where the Action Is. Yeah. So probably not doing Every Now and Then I Cry, though it was on an album by then. All right, so 888-876-5593. 8888. Raleigh. Oh, and Soroya is awake. All right, Soroya, what's keeping you up?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you?
All right. How about yourself?
I'm great. I wanted to request a song after I talk.
Okay.
Major Lance, Monkey Time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I know it's one of your jams.
Yeah, sure. I love everything Major Lance did.
Right. So I'm going to tell you a little story. I went to Indy recently to see a show.
Yeah.
I think I told you how I met my housemate, or how a lot of my life revolves around this little indie band at the time in 2010. It was called Mandy Marie and the Cole Hand Lukes.
Yes.
And she has a new band called Giddy Up Go. And I saw them in Indy. They were touring. And I thought you would appreciate this, Riley, because I feel like you and I have talked about Indy at times.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend Kathy and I went to see Mandy at Radio Radio in Indianapolis. And it was a traditional rockabilly show. And I have to tell you about the opening band.
Yeah.
They were awful.
Who were they?
I don't want to name names in case they're listening. It's Chicago. Let's just say that some band got... Okay, my friend, Kathy, who has her own rockabilly band, got tapped to play the opening act, but she was in the hospital for cancer at the time, so she couldn't. She's played the venue before.
Mm.
Records, has her own album, etc. Her and Mandy have played shows together years ago. And so much of my life, as I've told you, revolves around this one band, which is really funny. So anyway, the opening band bought new trucks and bowling shirts to open.
Oh.
And no upright bass. The guys played a normal rock bass, which is a no-no in a rockabilly show. It's bad. You're going to get choked backstage. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't play. It's a scene. You know what I'm saying? It's a thing. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you that Indy has changed so much since the last time I was there. It's...
Yeah.
Like, gentrified.
Yes, I'm not surprised. You know, it's been coming probably for the last 20 years. You know, I was there. It's going on 50 years ago now, and oh my God, it was not the place to be, to say the least. But I'd say by the turn of the century, they really started to gentrify a lot of it, and so yeah, they've been working on it.
It was crazy. Like the St. Fountain Square, Radio, which has been there forever. Like you go around the corner for like a meal, it's like $50. I'm like, you know, it was one of those things where I thought, Raleigh, you would appreciate I went to a rockabilly show. You know my history with this particular band.
Yeah.
And I wanted to tell you about Indy in particular because I'm like, what's happened here?
Surprised. Prices, you mentioned that, and I got to tell you, the last couple days, we were astounded. We'd gone out 2 days ago. We just got two cheeseburgers, $50. Well, yesterday, we were at fast food. We went to Culver's. We had little fish dinners at Culver's, $50. And it's just like, prices are unreal, and I keep saying, I don't know how people are surviving this.
Well, it's funny. Like, we ducked out. We paid our bill and ducked out because we had horrible service. Couldn't get anybody to cash us out, and we're like, well, we're not going to miss loading in because, my friend knows the venue. We're going to load in with her. And it was just a mess. I mean, the whole thing was kind of funny in that way. And it's so hard to find classic rockabilly music, but I'm happy to say that so much of my life has depended on this one band, and I got to see them again in a different genre. Like, she's doing a new band that's just a three-piece, and it's gorgeous. But I'm just happy that rockabilly is still alive in that way. Because it really isn't in the mainstream, you know what I mean?
Oh, yes. In fact, I was planning to talk of rockabilly tonight because somebody requested Vince Taylor. And if you're if you're not familiar with his whole meltdown, we'll talk about that.
Yeah, it was really cool to see somebody who is still doing it, and it was one of those things.
By the way, we've gone through the news. You and I are talking, but we're not on WGN at the moment. Oh, man.
Oh, well, that's great. Well, we can talk after.
Yeah, hang on.
Great.
Hang on. Don't go away.
Of course.
Come on, hear my plea. Well, she
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, Soroya mentioned rockabilly, and I figured I haven't heard what she wanted to request yet, but since Bob from Lockport wanted to hear Brand New Cadillac by Vince Taylor and his Playboys, I figured, why not? Although later I will tell you the full Vince Taylor story if you don't know it. Even if you do, there's a 24-minute documentary on him that was really well done. I don't know, BBC or something British, and it's on YouTube. So if you want to see it that way, I'm sure that'll do a much better job than I will. But nonetheless, I'll prattle through it. And now back to Soroya. All right, sorry about that.
No, it's all good. It wasn't a rockabilly request. It was a Monkey Time major.
Yes, Major Lance, Monkey Time. You will hear it next, I promise.
Yes. Yeah, that was not about, I was talking to you about rockabilly because my friend's band.
Yes.
Yeah. So anyway, I just want to tell you, Indy is way gentrified, and it was fun to go back and relive my memories, which was really cool, and to see all the people I knew. But I was like, oh, my God, it's so much more expensive and modern in a bad way. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, like, I do. Yes, I do. But let's face it, as I say with expensive, it's off the chart everywhere now.
Yeah. I just was sad to see the history gone.
Oh, yeah.
Even a decade ago, it was not like that. And it's funny, you know, you go into a venue, you know what it's like a decade ago, and you're like, the venue is still the same, but most of the people are still the same, but the outside is just, I don't know, maybe it's my age at this point where I'm like just shocked. I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, no. Places only exist in time. And that's why when everybody asks me what my favorite city is, I always have to give a year, because it was my favorite city then, but that's not what's there now.
But I will say this, if I can give a shameless plug to my friend's band, you know, because they're great. You know, she's playing a lot of bands, and it was so exciting in a way, exhilarating to see her play after a decade of not seeing her. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, and she, by the way, is a gorgeous girl.
Oh, so you've looked Mandy up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, her name's Mandy Marie Luke. The original band I saw them in was Mandy Marie Nicole and Luke's, which, what a great name, right?
Yeah, well, so, she stuck with that Western theme with Giddy Up Go.
Oh, yeah, she did. And Raleigh, the original stuff is, it's modern rockabilly, which is hard to do now. It's because it's a different genre now. And she opened up with Wild One, her only cover of the whole night. And it's just incredible. Like, and it's a whole theme. You don't see that anymore. Like, it's not like that at concerts. There's no, like, cultural history in that way. In the same 50s rockabilly way, get what I'm saying. So it was fun to dress up and go, and I mean, I know her, so yeah. Again, I'm glad you looked her up. She's doing great, and she wants me to come out to Austin next year.
Oh, man, for South by Southwest?
No, she wants me to come out. I haven't seen her. We don't want to go another decade not seeing each other, and my friend Kathy, who is Cherry Lee and the Hot Rod Hounds, that's her band.
Yeah.
Mandy has said she wants to do a show with her.
Well, good. Well, Austin's the place. It is the live music capital of the world. They'll tell you that right at the airport.
Yeah, which is cool for rockabilly. Again, I'd like to see the modern rockabilly thing flourish, because it just doesn't exist now.
No, it doesn't. Well, good. Yeah. Well, you're sounding good, and everything else must be going well, and I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, well, of course, and I'm not normally up in the middle of the night, but I thought, oh, Raleigh's probably up. It's 11:30. Maybe it's before the LA savings time, and maybe I can talk to Raleigh for a minute.
Absolutely. Well, I promise to play Major Lance next so you can go to sleep.
Oh, thank you, Raleigh.
All right.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
All right,
yeah,
so 888-876-5593 would be 8888 Raleigh. And we're going to talk to Vern in Arkansas next. Oh, getting back to cars. We got James on the south side. We got room for you two. And we got Major Lance coming up next on WGN Radio.
The music begins to play.
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Well, fighting words in some ways. Major Lance, the Monkey Times, summer of 63 on OK. Curtis Mayfield, of course. Yeah, who else? But the fight is, was it the record or the dance? What came first? And usually you'll know, you can trace it back. But in this case, there were two records in the summer of 63. One was the Monkey Time Major Lance. The other was Mickey's Monkey, The Miracles, both of which were very popular. And there is no evidence that the dance was out before them. So I don't know. But what I do know is there are evidence that's very close to the jerk. And we could, you know, talk at length about that. And then we could get into the twine and all that. But as far as Monkey Time, was it before the dance or was the dance patterned after it? Maybe we'll never know. So we've got Vern, and Vern is in Arkansas. So Vern, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi there again, Raleigh. It's been a while.
Glad you called.
We talked last about the Sea Crane radios.
Yeah.
Well, I visited with you before.
Yep.
But your information about new cars intrigued me, that they sit on the lots as long as they did. I was thinking back to my ownership of cars. The one that's sitting out here now I've had for 5 years now. The one before that I had for 24.
What are they?
The one sitting out here is a conglomeration of parts of Mazdas and Fords, which were the same thing for the Ford Ranger. And it's a Ford pickup, a blue one, with a capper on it.
Okay.
And preceding it was a GMC conversion van built in 1994 that I drove for 25 years.
Well, good, good. Now, going back in the day, though, when cars really meant something, because you'll remember this well, September was the big month and all the showrooms had their cocktail parties, so you see the latest models. And, man, I'll tell you, when it was all fins, man, what I wouldn't give for a fin. Yeah, that 49, that 59 Cadillac, yeah, boy. So looking back in the 50s and the 60s, what was your favorite?
In the 50s and 60s?
Yeah.
Probably none. That's why I drove the conversion van as long as I did, because the cars lost their personality after World War II, really. The ones before that were the cars with personality in the 30s and 40s when they had big sweeping fenders and great advertising programs, too, incidentally.
Yeah.
And there were some great cars back then, but my conversion van was just right for me. I converted it some more myself and put some solar panels on its roof, and it and I had been as high as the Continental Divide. Yeah. I drove it to Canada, all over the United States. I forgot how many miles it had on it, but that didn't count anymore at that point. But I think of all the money that these young people are having to spend now to get a car. My pickup truck cost me nothing, and so far it's been worth every penny of it.
that's funny. But yeah, you know, those 30s and 40s, I don't have any direct experience with any of them, but some of those cars were so classy looking. And one of them that I always liked was that Cadillac 60 Special. Man, that was just a good looking car.
Yeah, well, coming out of World War II, Ford was the first one to build a new car. I think the 49 Ford on the road didn't have fenders anymore. It had the slab sides and was built more for transportation than it was aesthetics.
Oh.
But today you can't tell them apart.
Isn't that interesting? I agree. No, I mean, I don't know what any of them are today, and I know I'm partially a fossil, but I used to be able to identify everything as it drove by. I could even tell you the year. Now I'm clueless. Yeah. I've never even heard of some of the manufacturers.
Yeah, I feel so sorry for the highway patrol and the sheriff's deputies trying to stop something and identify what it is.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It just seems like before cars really, you know, you talk about they had personality, they did, but they also reflected the personality of the owner. Now it seems like it's you know, right out of some Soviet dream. They all look alike, you know, every bit of it. I don't find anything. I used to say they look like they were hatched by an overachieving chicken.
Yes, and then they filled up the insides of them with all the technology in the world that I didn't know I needed to go to the grocery store.
You're right. Oh, I know. I know. And then, you know, I mean, I know it sounds like we're fossils, but you look at the cars today with their in-dash system, and I say, wait a minute, they're always saying, don't drive distracted. How can you not be distracted when that's in front of you?
Yes, and I have a friend who just bought a new something here the other day, and it has a heads-up display for the speedometer and the other things, so that as you're driving, it's displayed on the windshield.
Yes, yes. And I guess that's a nice feature, but it's also distracting as hell.
It certainly is. That's why we have more auto accidents and sell more cars. I guess that's why.
Man, that's a horrible thought, but yeah. Well, the other thing on some of them now, you really, and most of them, you really don't feel the speed or the road. So you can be velocitized so easily and not realize you're going 70 miles an hour.
Yes, and even the advertisements for the new ones make a statement for going over the speed limit. So I guess speed limits are a thing of the past, too.
Well, I think they're more advisory now, until they want to stop you, because with all these, you know, electronic things, the red light cameras and the speed cameras, you know, you may get a surprise in the mail.
Yeah, I used to fly, too, and I always said that I don't need to go over 70 miles an hour unless I'm in the air.
Right, right, and then you better. Yes.
Yes, you just use 70 as a started and stop thing. Yeah, that's true.
Exactly.
Anyway,
good to talk to you, Vern. Call me again.
All right, good to talk to you, and I enjoy the show. Keep
good
it
deal,
up.
Thanks. Appreciate it. All right, so John and I have been having a little argument. I don't think there is another break, but he said, but there is. And so Adam will tell John, and I'll just continue to talk to you until I'm told otherwise. So 888-876-5593, 8888-Raleigh. Laurie, North End of Chicago, has requests. What are they, Laurie?
Hello?
Yeah. I'm listening.
Raleigh?
Yes, I'm listening. What are your requests?
Oh, good.
And please don't ask for things like Pat Boone. It's not going to happen. So if it's obscure R&B and soul, I want to play them. If it's not, go listen to something else.
Well, the ones I wanted by Pat Boone the last time I talked to you, those were not remakes.
No, I understand that. It's not that. It's just that, you know, we talked about this a while ago. Listeners kind of voted, and, you know, my choice will prevail, but it usually has to be obscure R&B or soul.
Major Lance, Mama Didn't Know.
Oh, okay. Now you're talking.
And, Major Lance. Oh, that was the only one by him. And Jan Bradley from Robbins, Illinois. Mm-hmm. Mama Didn't Lie.
Oh, big hit. Okay, I'll play it anyway, but big hit. Okay.
The Stereos. Right. I really love you.
Oh, all right. That's worthy.
Is that from 57?
You know, I don't know the year, to be exact. I've got it, but on a 45, but I don't know. I'll have to look it up. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about year on that. I know it's on Cub. I tend to think it was more like 61, but let me look up. Bert Keys was the conductor on that record, by the way, but let me look it up. Still checking.
Perfect.
One moment. All right, all right. The Stereos, I Really Love You. 1961 Cub. Ah, I got it.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
And there's a national show.
All right, no, I'll be happy to do those.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Lori.
I was going to talk to you about a show that was on more than 2 weeks ago, and it isn't on anymore.
Okay.
Called Coast to Coast AM.
What do you mean it isn't on anymore?
Something else is on that same radio station.
Oh, but right. That may be. The show is still on the air. The affiliate dropped it.
Oh, I know, but I have to DX in order to get it.
Why would you want to hear it? I mean, when Art Bell was doing it, it was great, but now I wouldn't try to hear it.
Really? Why not?
Because it's awful.
Because it's George Norrie.
Yeah, it's just awful. But, you know, the replays of Art you can hear online on YouTube, and they're still a kick. But anyway, I don't know anything about who's carrying it, not carrying it, but I know it still exists. All right, Lori, I'll get your requests on, I promise.
Okay.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
Lori has redeemed herself. Yeah, usually she'll, like, want to hear Pat Boone or something. Like, no, we're not doing that. All right, but you betcha. Jan Bradley and the Stereos, and maybe the Stereos. And I will, hopefully before the end of the night, give you the story of Vince Taylor, because it is a fascinating one. And if you're saying who, well, if you've ever heard of David Bowie and you know about Ziggy Stardust, well, that's half, more than half, Vince Taylor. The other half, less than half, is the legendary Stardust Cowboy, but mostly Vince Taylor. All right, so 888-876-5593. And I believe we're going to talk to Terry here in a moment, who is a first-time caller who has some requests, so I'll find out what they are, and I will play them if John will stop talking to her. And then we also, okay, all right, well, we'll do this first. So, Terry, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hello, is it my turn?
It is absolutely your turn, and what would you like to hear?
Well, okay, first of all, I got it. This is my first time of hearing you.
Ah.
So I gather right away, I'm like, okay, rockabilly, that's not from my timeline.
Right, and you know, truth of the matter is I really don't much like rockabilly, but man, when it comes to soul and obscure R&B, now we're talking.
Well, okay, I'm 66,
okay.
So I, you know, born in 56,
mm-hmm.
And I love the 70s, 60s and 70s,
mm-hmm.
And I grew up, like, with the Beatles and stuff, but I also like the Supremes and the mm-hmm. Temptations mm-hmm. and Foundations, and mm-hmm. I don't know if that kind of music is what
sure.
you're into.
Sure. No, I, you know, absolutely. Especially the Motown obscurities, especially. But sure, there are some.
Okay.
And, you grew up with some good R&B, actually, in those years. Early 70s, especially. Yeah.
I really liked the Supremes. I mean, I had their 45.
Sure.
You know, and Temptations. And,
Well, the Miracles and Stevie Wonder and, you know.
Stevie Wonder, man, yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, I can't get enough of him. I love him. But I'm impressed. I'm really glad I found you because I couldn't sleep, and so I decided to turn on WGN, and I didn't even know that you were, doing a show on GN, which is great.
Yeah, been about three years. Yeah, about 3 years,
okay.
But I'm glad you woke up. And what I'm really glad is that you called, because, you know, a lot of people will be listening for 3 years and they'll be like, I've never called before. It's like, what took you so long? So I'm delighted that you called. I know just where you are, too, because I used to live in Rockford.
You did? Oh, wow. Okay. I'm about, like, what, an hour from Rockford?
Yeah. You're north of Elgin off of I-90.
Yes. Yeah. Elgin is, like, my neck. Well, besides Dundee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Elgin's my next door neighbor. I love Elgin. But
you've ended the hour, believe it or not.
Oh,
so,
okay.
So the news.
I'm glad I got in.
No, I'm glad you did too. The news is on, but so we'll talk here a second, just you and me. We're not on the radio, but that's okay. I will.
All right, awesome.
I will get you some Motown from the latter '60s or early '70s, and call me again. Thank you.
Okay, I will.
Okay, thanks,
Terry.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Floyd, 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 Floyd George.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is the Supremes post Diana Ross, the end of 1971. Smokey Robinson wrote that, kind of reminiscent of Baby Love, and that was Mary Wilson and Gene Terrell on lead. Of course, Cindy Birdsong was still in the group, and the Andantes were doing some background singers as well. But there you have it. Got to number 5 on the R&B charts, 16 on the pop charts. And, it's for Terry. And we'll have, I think next we'll do a Diana Ross post-Supreme. So that'll give both sides of the Supreme, since she said she was a big Supremes fan. 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. James on the South Side. Hello, James.
Hello. How are you doing? I hope you're doing well.
Can't complain. Tell me what's up.
Well, I would have called last night, but my phone was pretty much, it wasn't doing too much. And I ended up falling asleep.
I do that sometimes during the show, too. So that's all right. Now.
Okay, well, I got to admit, this, okay, I'm glad that some of my stories already helped you early.
Oh, yes.
About the cars.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. When I think about how expensive, I remember how much my father paid for his last car. I think about $26,000.
Wow. Pontiac
G6.
Okay, my cars are so old, I've never paid that much money. Yeah. So, 2001.
And that was it, financing.
Well, yeah. No, last thing I bought was the 1995 Z28 I've got, and when I discovered it had an option that gave me the Corvette engine and they only charged me another grand, I thought, this is my car! And, I think the whole thing with tax and titles was maybe $21,000, maybe. And at the time, I couldn't believe it. I thought it was just so much money. But now, I can't even buy a car for it.
Oh, yeah, you can't buy half a car.
Yeah, really. And, you know, that's one of my pet peeves, because they have never updated the insurance laws. So people can be carrying insurance legally that won't cover half a car. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah, I know it's like this ad to say, oh, you can have insurance $33 a month. And I know that's
the minimums. Yeah, right.
Howling at the moon.
Well, you know, you can have it, but it's, you know, $10,000, $25,000, $5,000. Those are like the limits on that. And I realize that lawmakers don't want to raise it because they want to get elected, and they realize that raising it will hurt them. But if they don't raise it, I mean, these are based on 1965 minimums. It's crazy. I don't see how they can claim that that there's mandatory insurance. And of course, that forces all of us to get underinsured motorist protection, and that's an expensive line.
Oh, yeah. And then I think about, okay, I said, well, in a way, I'm glad I'm not in the driving pool anymore. Mm-hmm. In a way, because I think about it, say, I'm going to, okay, like, I'll give you an example and you see these people, these kids taking people's cars.
Oh,
and that, which reminds me of a certain thing that our esteemed mayor is doing. He wants to sue the car companies because of what's happening with the cars being stolen,
mm-hmm.
Which is, and I mean, sure, the two car makers in question, that most in question, are kind of
well, right.
You could say, well,
right. You're talking about Kia.
Hyundai,
right,
yeah.
Right, and the mayor filed a civil suit against them, saying that it's a critical defect in the company's vehicles that lead to the car theft crisis. Oh, I think it's a little more than that, but nonetheless, at least they're consistent. So it's like kind of trying to blame the gun for a shooting. Kia and Hyundai failed to equip their cars sold between 2011 and 2022 with anti-theft technology. Yeah, that's the problem. All right, so we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how this goes. Hopefully, absolutely nowhere and in a hurry.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Yeah, and other things. Well, I sent you a story. I don't know if you got it yet. Where a umpire got ejected.
Yes. Yeah, right. He was fighting with the players. Yeah, that was interesting. And I figure his career isn't long for the major league ball.
He won't really. Let's put it this way: and since it was his crew chief that ejected him, let's just say. I'd say, they might give him another chance at that league level, but this is a serious mark.
Well, we'll also say that he's not ready for prime time. This is the Frontier League game between the Tri-City Valley Cats and the New York Boulders, where a first base umpire was removed. Yeah, I love the way they say, a heated exchange. Well, that's one way to put it. So, I don't think we'll see him at a Yankees game anytime soon. I love the headline about doctors say scientists made a human Z, and I got really worried because I know we're talking so much about gene therapy these days with all these vaccines and everything else. And I thought, oh my God! Well, it turns out this was 100 years ago they supposedly made a human Z, that they inseminated a chimpanzee with a human's DNA or a human semen, I guess, and it came to live birth. Now, of course, who knows?
Nobody's around who's talking.
Right, exactly. this supposedly was in Orange Park, Florida. And in a matter of days after the birth, they considered the moral and ethical implications and the infant with euthanized. Now, you see, I would have figured they just let it grow up and they'd be on the midway at the circus, but none the, or the county fair. But nonetheless, they're saying that our human ancestors, it's possible, we're very capable of interbreeding. God, I hope not.
I hope not either, because one of my stories, I think, was where I came across a husband and wife were charged with bestiality. And I'm like thinking... they were with their dogs, and I'm like thinking, best friend deserves a little more respect than that.
Well, you know, I mean, depraved as it is, hopefully they were making movies because there's money in that. But regardless, I bypassed that story fairly quickly.
I said, no, I wanted to take it. If my stomach had gone upside down, I would have said, this is a story that basically says, you want to say not ready for prime time.
Yeah, well, we hope
get
not.
Me an antacid stat.
Yeah, right, yeah. Well, we hope not. And then, of course, the border was very popular, just like the royals in your links. But now we're having thousands of West African migrants entering through a new route.
So, yeah.
All right.
And then they're coming from, they're coming from everywhere.
Yeah, right. It sounds like the Tammy show.
To America. I was reminded of that song when I thought about that.
That's so funny. It's the Tammy show. Actually, it is not a new route. It's a very old route that we're coming through Nicaragua. But, you know, I guess the writer didn't have a map. Always such a wonderful, wide array of stories. I loved every one of them.
Okay, I'm glad. Okay, and John is continuing to get better.
We're counting on it. Thanks, appreciate it.
Okay, right. Okay. You take care. I'm falling asleep now in the chair.
Sleep well. Glad we didn't keep you up. 888-876-5593. If we didn't keep you up, I'll give you the Vince Taylor story next, because it is kind of interesting. And yes, it is rockabilly. But that said, I think for people who were fans of Ziggy, Ziggy Stardust, the David Bowie character, you might find it interesting. Well, or not, but I certainly did. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Last time I saw him, He sweetly kissed my lips. Last time I saw him, he said, I'll be back for more of this. Last time I saw him, we were crying at the bus. I knew he hated leaving, but he had to set us up. I gave him money, I know I invested well. Mama doesn't trust him, but he loves me, I can tell. Each day the Greyhound arrives at 9 o'clock, but I don't stop my crying till that last man's gotten off. Last time I saw him, last time I saw my honey, last time I saw him he was Greyhound bound. But I'm still waiting here without a fear that bus will someday turn around. I had no letter, it's been 6 months, maybe better. I try forgetting him, but I love him more than ever.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Diana Ross, yeah, last time I saw him in her solo career, 1973 on Motown. All right, so we'll get some of the other Motown records Terry likes, and we'll get back to Vince Taylor because it's an interesting story. And we'll get to Stacy from Algonquin. Don't go away, Stacy. All right, so it was Bob from Lockport who wanted me to play Brand New Cadillac, which we did a little while ago. And that's when I started to think about Vince Taylor, who's one of these names that hardcore rockabilly fans know and nobody else does. And he was a guy who was actually born in London, but when he was a kid, his family moved to America and settled in California. And he saw Elvis right after he graduated from high school around that time, and Elvis early in his career, and was just smitten. He goes back to London in about 1957, and he's treated as these exotic people think he's American, you know, and he's wearing these clothes all black and stuff like that. The real thing is, unlike a lot of the British rock and rollers, he was a good looking kid. A great jaw, perfect teeth, symmetrical face, looked like he came off of a Hollywood lot rather than what the rank and file British kids were doing at that time. And so he creates some attention, and he manages to get a little record contract, and Tony Sheridan was involved with that and all that. And he winds up being on some TV shows, Oh Boy, which at the time was a British show, ATB. And that's where he's wearing, all his black outfits and all that. But they say, if you want to be a regular here, you're going to have to cut your hair. He's like, well, nothing to it. So meanwhile, he's recording, like I say, on Parlophone. And he puts out a remake of Pledging My Love, the Johnny Ace record. And on the back of it was something he wrote, Brand New Cadillac. And he did write that. And nobody heard it except it became big in France. Doesn't that figure, right? By the way, by this time, the BBC is banning him. He's seen less of a Johnny Ace and more like a Johnny Rotten. So meanwhile, he goes to France. He becomes, a teenage heartthrob, like Johnny Holiday and all that. And Barclay Records signs him. And it looks like he's doing well in Paris. He's got a few years there where he's, he's got some success going. Meanwhile, his sister gets married in the United States. His sister was about 12 years older than him. And his sister in 1963 marries Joe Barbera. The guy from Hanna-Barbera, the guy with the illustrator shop, right? Yeah, the Fred Flintstones and all those other things. Well, anyway, here he's married to, here she's married to Joe Barbera, who has interest in starting a record company. And so his sister says, well, you ought to see my brother. Well, at this point, she doesn't realize that Vince is kind of becoming a problem. Actually, he was great for the Beatles because he missed an appearance at the Star Club in Hamburg in 1962, and that's what allowed the Beatles to be on stage at a last-minute thing. So that was real good. But missing that gig was just one of many. For one thing, he was just frantic on stage, is the best way to put it. And this led to, after 4 years or so, the fact that he was in pain. So, of course, you self-medicate. And he was tired. He was so tired. Well, you self-medicate. So between the painkillers and the amphetamines, yeah, he was starting to miss some dates. So that's exactly where he was. We're going to leave him in Paris. And I'll tell you, poor Joe Barbera. Yeah, and poor sister. Yeah, all right, so we'll pick it up right there with Vince Taylor and his Playboys coming up right here on WGN Radio.
We got the feeling. Ooh, well, I got a gal with a record machine. Baby, come she rockin' and she's a queen. She loves to dance on a Saturday night. She's all alone, I can hold her tight. She lives on the 20th floor downtown. The elevator's broken down, so we've been climbing 1, 2, flight 2, flight 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, flight more. Up to the 12th and I'm starting to sag. Back to 15th floor and I'm beginning to drag. Hit to the top and I'm too tired to rock. Now she calling me up on the telephone. She said, make it over, honey, cause I'm all alone. Say, baby, that you're mighty sweeter, but I'm in better with a Hagen fade. This went on for a couple of days. Well, I couldn't stay away, so we've been climbing 1, 2, flight 3, flight 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, flight more. Up to the 12th and I'm starting to sag. Back to the 15th floor and I'm beginning to drag. Hit to the top, I'm too tired to swing.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, 20 Flight Rock, that's Vince Taylor, 1961 on Barclay, which was a foreign label. I can't remember, like Belgium, where we're from. But in any event, 61, Vince Taylor, our buddy Vince here, is still pretty much reliable, showing up to gigs. It's a year later, like I mentioned at the Star Club in Hamburg. He's kind of going off the rails, and with the amphetamines because of his exhaustion, and the painkillers because of all his antics on stage, giving him all sorts of pains and trouble. He's in not so great shape, but he's still performing. And so here I mentioned in 63, his sister marries Joe Barbera. Joe Barbera saying, you know, at some point, we need to start this record label because, after all these Hanna-Barbera shows, the Flintstones and Top Cat and everything else, the Jetsons, you know, we can make money with this. And so they hadn't done anything. But meanwhile, we're approaching now, we're 1965, and Joe's serious about it. And so that's when his sister says, you know, you got to go see my brother, Vince. Now, like I say, she hadn't seen him in a while either. So they decide they're going to go to Paris, and they'll see him at the La Locomotive Club. And he was going to appear there in 1965. That might have been good if right before the appearance, he didn't go back to London, because supposedly a promoter owed him money and the band, and he needed the cash. And so he was going back to London to get the money before the show. Well, he does get some money, but the next thing he does, he finds himself at the Savoy Hotel at a party with Bob Dylan and a bunch of other people, and a lot of acid, let's just say. Allegedly, he bought 200 pounds of LSD. I don't know what that equals, but, 1,000 hits or something of that nature. Well, you know, that might be one thing if you say he's going to, spread it around or whatever. No. He just, for the next few days straight, he's just imbibing it. And so here he comes back right about the day of the La Locomotive appearance. This was May of 1965. And he thinks he's now the son of Jesus. On the big billboard outside with his picture and his name, he crosses out his name. He writes, Matthias, son of Jesus. And meanwhile, the Playboys are on stage because the show has already started. You know, he's late, right? They don't know what's going to happen. So here he comes while they're doing a remake of Come On, Everybody. Right? Exactly. And he walks in with a jug of water and starts anointing people. And, I am Matthias, son of God. Bottom line is he self-destructed on stage within 15 minutes. Needless to say, his sister and Joe Barbera are horrified. And with that in mind, by the way, Joe went back to L.A. and they did start Hanna-Barbera Records, HBR. And if you're saying I've never heard of it, oh, yes, you have. Danny Hutton was on it. Roses and Rainbows was it. The Five Americans were on it. 13th Floor Elevator. But they released mostly cartoon soundtracks and things of that nature. But they did have a few. And then some local things, too. Larry Butler did a version of Almost Persuaded. And Anne Christine, a nurse in Miami who was dating a country music disc jockey, George Day, they wrote something. So Anne Christine was on the label. So, you know, little stuff like that. So anyway, that's fine, except let's get back to Vince a moment. All right. So here it is. After the La Locomotive disaster, he says, you know, he's going to fly to Hollywood. Well, that doesn't last for but a minute. He's back in London from 1966 to 72. For those 6 years, he was just nuts. And when I say nuts, I mean in the clinical sense, nuts. He wound up with the kind of mental problems that would normally hospitalize you. And, when he got back there, he met David Jones, David Bowie, obviously. David Bowie was just captivated by him. And because at this point, he's telling Bowie that he was Jesus, but he's also an alien. And he had this whole story. And Bowie's thinking to himself, you know, I don't know how I'm going to use it, but this is just too good. And so ultimately, Bowie, when he created his Ziggy Stardust character, Ziggy was absolutely Vince Taylor. And, you know, it now becomes bigger than life. In fact, later The Clash did a version of Brand New Cadillac. They didn't even realize it was being recorded. It was just supposed to be a warm-up, and they did that. But he gets increasingly crazy, and he's still in Great Britain, appearing here and there and nowhere. And he wound up claiming in 1980 that the Duke and Duchess of Windsor were planning to kill him. Needless to say, eventually he gets hospitalized and gets treatment, and winds up after treatment moving to Switzerland, gets remarried, and was there for the entire 80s. And from all accounts, lived a peaceful, quiet life. He died of cancer in 1991 there, but also from all accounts, happily. But meanwhile, Brian Holden, it was his real name, was Vince Martin. Vince Taylor. Vince Taylor. Just not only David Bowie, but so many others. And so when Bob from Lockport said, "How about Brand New Cadillac?" I said, "I got to tell the Vince Taylor story. This is just too good." So Bowie on many interviews said that it was Vince Taylor who primarily influenced him to do the Ziggy Stardust character. Although, as I say, legendary Stardust cowboy. And part of the appearance, the look, you know, the character he developed, but the look was also from some Japanese art. But mostly, yeah, Vince Taylor. Because Bowie's thinking, oh man, no one's going to believe this. Yeah, well, unfortunately, no one did. But hey, I think probably David Bowie got the, financially speaking, got the best of the deal. All right, so we'll be back to Stacy from Algonquin. She's going to give us an update. And Brian from Joliet, who's got a request or two. And you too, plenty of room, 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Those are the Miracles, 1964. That's what love is made of. Smokey Robinson, Bobby Rogers, and Pete Moore, the Miracles collectively, wrote it. And that actually, they sung at the Tammy Show. Now, not with Claudette. She stayed home. But with everybody else, there it was. And it was Johnny Goin who said I could play anything by the Miracles I wanted to. So I did. All right, 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, Stacy is in Algonquin. So, Stacy, let's have that update.
Hi, Raleigh. How are you doing?
Oh, I can't complain. So, tell me what's up.
No, everything has been pretty good.
Yay.
It's been going great. John sounds good.
Yeah.
Your health okay?
Oh, it wasn't earlier today. You don't even want to know. There was a question
okay.
question of whether I'd do this show,
no,
but no, I'm
no,
okay now.
That's good.
Yeah.
I've had two showings on the house so far.
Now, do you know where you're going to move?
No, that's the question.
Well, don't sell this house until you know where you're going.
I know. I won't.
Okay.
I won't. I have Chris, my realtor, he won't. No, he'll help me. He's great. But, no, everything's going good. I just wanted, I have a piece of news like James.
Yeah.
I saw this on my phone.
Yeah.
Where President Biden.
Yeah.
Fell asleep. In Hawaii, when they were talking about the terrible catastrophe.
Well,
in Hawaii, he was sitting there and sleeping.
You know, there's between him and the Republican guy who is, you know, in the middle of a press conference wondering where he is. You really start to think maybe there should be an age limit on these people running,
right,
or something. But yeah, and so anybody who says, "Oh man, you're being politically partisan." No, this is equal opportunity here. So we have Biden and we have McConnell, both of them who might not be fit for office running the world.
I know, and that is very, very terrible.
It's scary as hell.
God.
Well, you know, if you wrote it in a novel, the publisher would say, "Oh, that's not believable."
No.
So yeah.
But it is.
Yeah. Well, it absolutely. It's captured on film. And what's interesting about it, depending on where you hear the report, the newscast may seize on one or the other. You know, and you say to yourself, "What happened to this fair and balanced stuff?" Yeah. Oh well.
Right.
Oh well.
But you know, but the in Algonquin, the weather hasn't been bad. It's kind of cooler now.
Good.
And I really have a lot of good people around me.
Good.
And friends and stuff. And no, I'm calling for certain people to tell me about certain places. Oh, no, I can't leave.
You're right. No, you
can't. I'm boxing up.
Right. Have you seen any of these places yet?
No, but I know.
Oh, I want you to see them.
I've gotten some folders. But I want to stay in the Algonquin area.
Okay, that's fine. But there's lots of places to go see in the Algonquin area. Go see them all.
I will try.
Yeah. There's a big decision. You need to see them.
I know. But, what else did I... No, I told you about... Oh, God, that's really sad with Biden, all this terrible stuff.
The whole thing is sad. No, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's for...
When was there a blue moon? Did I miss
Oh, yes, today. Today was a blue moon, and this afternoon was a blue moon. So that's the second full moon of the month.
Oh, so okay.
It's a full, not a new.
Okay, so the new one is coming up then.
Well, yeah, in 2 weeks, like it always does.
Okay. But no, the house is okay. I'm
good.
Boxing. I'm having my nightly coffee. Do you drink coffee?
No, absolutely have never had it. Just like I've never had a drink. You know, I have the taste buds of a 9-year-old, and I eat like one whose parents are away for the weekend.
I bet you'd like my coffee.
No, I probably wouldn't. I don't, you know, it's just like I won't eat an olive either. There's all sorts of things I won't eat. You know, basically think about if maybe a 7-year-old, what they're going to want to eat, I'll be with them.
Okay. Did you say that Culver's was like about $50?
Yes, all we did was we got a couple of three-piece dinners and drinks, and it was 49 something. And
good grief.
Well, and you know, that's the fish was great, by the way, just great. But I really do like their fish. But nonetheless, it's gotten crazy. And the day before, all we had was two cheeseburgers, and it was $50.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was at some local joint. But, yeah, and so this is what's happening to prices. And, you know, I keep thinking the Weimar Republic's just around the corner.
I mean, I have to make my list for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
Because tomorrow is like a shopping day, and
okay.
I'm not going to get what I don't need.
Well, no, I never would do that. Now, do you have grocery chains there where they have Senior Day once a month?
I think it might be Jewel.
Well, you might find out what day is Senior Day and always make sure that's when you buy the things you stock up on regularly, like me and my Mexican Coke. I always buy about 60 of them on Senior Day.
Okay. But no, I just wanted to give you an update. Oh, God, we got to get a new president.
Well, you know, I mean, there'll be an election if there are elections, but elections, but next year. But in a republic, you get the government you deserve. So we'll see what happens. But in the meantime, long before that election, you will be ensconced in your new location. So what you got to do is go see them all. I'm going to start making a list of places that are 55 plus in Algonquin, and I expect you to visit every one of them.
Okay. You know me, I have my good days and bad days.
Don't we all? So,
but I swear to God, Raleigh, when I sit in my recliner, you know, and I have to get my feet up a certain amount of time,
yeah,
the chair just puts me to sleep.
Yes. Yes. And that's fine. Sleep is sacred. Sleep's okay.
Not when I have to make doctor's appointments.
Well, there is that.
Other stuff that I've been behind in, but I have to catch up. But I've been doing a lot in the house, though. I boxed up underneath the table.
Good.
All of the picture books, cleaned them, put them in a box, and I've been walking around doing this, that, went upstairs, checked it out, and to see what else I could donate.
Okay.
But you know, it's so weird, Raleigh. I know I said this before, but I'm thinking, where did all of the years go?
Oh, I know.
I mean, it's like,
I know,
we were just here.
I know. Turn around. Yes, absolutely. Well, the interesting thing, as you well know, and I always say this, that the third grade took like 11 years. I mean, when we were
kids,
took forever. Summer vacation seemed like it was at least 2 years. And then by the time we got out of school, it got a little faster and a little faster. And as you know, once you hit about 60, 65, man, it just zooms. And you get into your 70s and forget about it. Time absolutely moves faster the older you get.
But we're all still good, you know, as long as you just keep yourself up and fluff up your hair.
Yeah, that's right.
Have a wonderful attitude that everything is just fabulous and great, and just be positive and just know that, okay, God is up there. He's watching.
Well, that's
you,
for sure.
Lord,
you're,
Jesus. And,
you
know.
You're not alone. You are not alone. Not
and I pray, and Raleigh, I pray over everybody. Absolutely everybody.
That's great.
Every night.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I know you mentioned you were Jewish, and next month you got the big holidays coming up, and hopefully you've got somebody to spend time with.
Well, actually, through my marriage, I'm part Lutheran too now.
Oh, well, good. All right. Well, then don't worry about it.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Some of the friends I hear.
Yeah, but you know, I know New Year's and then Yom Kippur. You know, for some people, that's a time when they don't really want to be alone. So if that's the case,
even when Raldo was with me, we did the best we could.
Right.
You know, when you have, you know, the parents.
Sure.
Are the ones that, oh my God, when I was growing, and you know, even in my 20s and stuff, oh my God, my mother was the big dinners and everything, and Wild would come, everybody would come and everything.
Yeah. So,
but you
so
do
yeah.
the best you can.
Absolutely, you do.
Did you hear anything, Raleigh, about, like, I know the coyotes. Did you hear something about, like, there's a bigger type of a worse thing than a coyote?
You mean in terms of animals?
Yeah.
Hang on a minute. Don't go away. We'll pick up coyotes and more coming up right after the news. Stay with coyotes. All right. Well, I said you could talk about anything. You're proving it. We'll be back to talk about coyotes next on WGN Radio. In 1961, got to 15 on the R&B charts. I don't know what it did on the pop charts, but it was a fine record. They were from Steubenville. Yes, so there. All right, so we're talking to Stacy from Algonquin about neighborhood creatures. I assume we're talking about neighborhood creatures. Coyotes, yes, the four-footed kind, right? Are you there, Stacy?
Yeah. Oh, okay. I'm here. Yeah. I'm here.
So we're talking.
I think, Raleigh, I saw it on my phone with something about it's like a coyote. I probably saw it on my phone, but it's bigger.
Well, I'll tell
you. I don't know.
I'll tell you. There's about 4,000 coyotes in the Chicago area.
Well,
and there didn't used to be that many, but and there's even more in Washington, D.C., and I'm not talking the ones who were elected. But,
and they're coming to Algonquin.
Well, that's right. They're visiting. And so you say to yourself, well, you know, what's bigger? Well, the first thing that came to mind for me was the gray wolf, but I looked it up, and you haven't had many. You've only had 11 in the last few years, so not a lot of gray wolves. And then I thought, well, mountain lion? Well, we only had two of those that I could find. And then I
read about a bear.
I was going to say bear, black bears. Now, it is illegal to hunt those black bears, and I don't want anybody to touch the bears. I'm very fond of the bears.
I think it's a light-colored bear that was supposed to be coming from Barrington.
Yeah, you see, black bears aren't a color. That's a type, as opposed to a grizzly bear.
Oh, okay.
Black bears can come in any color phase. They can, you know, they can be fairly light, but they're either black or they're grizzly. It's a type of bear. And yes, there are a few, but not many, and they are protected, so do not touch the bears. But anyway, a bear could, in a fight with a coyote, would win, no doubt about it. Now, interestingly, bigger animals like a mountain lion would probably lose to the wolf. Man, that gray wolf is pretty good. That it's gonna do in the cougar or the mountain lion, but you know. So most of the time, what you're seeing, of course, are foxes. But now a little bigger, they're coyotes. So bigger than that, probably rare. But I'd say possible it's a mountain lion, not likely. You know, possible it's a gray wolf, not likely. You're gonna know it if it's a bear. So I wouldn't worry about it.
A long time ago, just my neighbor when he was alive, Bob, and he took his little dog out at night.
Mm-hmm.
So the dog stopped. because he saw all the way, it looked like a German Shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a coyote all the way down the block.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled Bob back into the house.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I haven't seen, with me, my backyard is really big, but I have a lot of big trees.
Well,
that grew.
I would say.
So I haven't, the only thing that I have, well, last night it was Pepe Le Pew and Fifi Le Pew.
Okay. Yep.
So they were in the front. So they were doing whatever they were doing.
Right. Well, as, if you see coyotes, I wouldn't worry too much because for the most part, they're very shy. They're not going to, you know, we're assuming they're not rabid. They're not going to want to attack you.
Oh, I think Tracy, one time, I don't know, she was talking to the neighbor and the neighbor said that a dog, a coyote, grabbed a dog.
Yes, it happens.
And he was pretty hurt.
Yeah, well, that's a dog, but they're not going to grab you.
Well, that's good.
You know, I mean, a small dog. Coyotes are good predators. Trust me, they are good predators. So,
you know,
a coyote will snatch a small dog in front of your very eyes.
The dog can
be on a leash, for God's sakes. Doesn't matter. They'll drag them. But they're not going to affect you. So, usually. So I wouldn't worry about it. But for people who are walking a small dog, you know, you got a toy poodle or something out at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is time to notice because it can happen very quickly. So, you know, you got a dog that's under 10 pounds. Yeah, I'd worry. But I'm not worried about you in particular or me or any other human. And, you know, a big dog, I don't think the coyote's going to go for it. You know, I would say in a dog fight, I'm not sure that happens because the coyote's not stupid. It's not going to try to grab a Great Pyrenees.
Right. No, it's been, I really haven't seen, like I say, sometimes, you know, the skunks will come out, and then they'll be gone. And
yeah, absolutely. It's nice. It's back to nature time.
Right. And what else? But other than that, you know, I've been just doing what I'm doing.
Okay.
And
good.
I have nice people around me.
Well,
and I've just been, you know,
Well, next
like
time
I'm up late.
Next time you call, I was saying, next time you call, I want to know where you've been. I want you to go somewhere. Check one of these out at least.
Okay, I don't think I'm forgetting anything, but I thought I'd call just in case I can't call you tomorrow for a reason.
All right.
I just wanted to send all of Stacy's blessings and everything to everybody, that they should live and be well and be happy and safe, and the war should stop.
Oh, good luck.
And I know. It's sad.
Good luck. Yeah, well, yeah, but, you know, just do your best, and you're sounding great, and that's wonderful, and I'll talk to you soon.
Right. You take care, buddy.
Okay. Okay, thanks.
And
okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so there you have it. Yeah, coyotes. And they will. A small dog, you betcha that could be a problem. But you personally, yeah, you're probably going to win because it's going to leave. Yeah. We've got a lot of them, actually. So Brian and Joliet, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hi, Raleigh. Hope you're doing well.
Can't complain.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
And you spoke of this in the past, and I forgot most of it. Can you do a kind of a short version of what was the thing that Dick Clark had against Alan Freed? Could you briefly summarize that, please?
It's not Dick Clark having anything against Alan Freed. It's ABC. Here was the deal. When we're talking about the events leading up to the Paola hearings, obviously ABC hung Alan Freed out to dry, and they protected Dick Clark. Now, Alan Freed never really understood why that was. The reality was it had nothing to do with Dick Clark being a nice guy or a bad guy or Alan Freed being a nice guy or a bad guy. It had to do with ABC's exposure. You see, right before the Paola hearings was when they had the quiz show scandals. And ABC was so thrilled because they didn't have any quiz shows, so they skated free. But now, after that, here comes the Paola hearings, and here was their big problem. It was not illegal for a disc jockey to take Paola at all. It was illegal if they didn't report it as income, but it was not illegal in any way to take Paola as a disc jockey. But it was illegal to take Paola or Plugola as a licensee. Now, what you have to understand is that the rules were so that the public wouldn't be misled by a licensee when something was paid for, like promoting a product, without it being an obvious commercial. That's what Plugola is. Or if a record's being paid for by to the licensee, the public is misled if they think that it's popular on its own. You understand the meaning of this. Now, with that in mind, ABC, much to their chagrin, discovered that they had inadvertently, I don't think the ABC people knew it, but inadvertently been involved in Plugola. And the show in question was Dick Clark's Saturday Night Beach Nut Show. And the deal is that they were making mentions that travel was sponsored by an airline. Well, the reality is travel was not sponsored by that airline. The airline was just paying for mentions. So technically, that's Plugola. All right. So when Goldenson discovered that this, he immediately gets Dick Clark up to his house in Westchester County and said, "We got to sit down and craft an agreement here that, you know, they're trying to protect themselves." Well, meanwhile, they say to Alan Freed, "Well, if you've taken money, you know, you're out on the street." Now, here's the problem with that. When Alan Freed first went to WABC, before he had been at WINS, and when he first went to WABC, the lawyers for ABC crafted his agreement, and they actually said to him, "Well, now that you're with ABC, we hope you'll be playing a lot of Ampar product." Ampar was ABC Paramount Records, and it was also the publishing company. So the lawyers are basically encouraging him. Well, here it comes, and here's the Paola hearings, and they hang Alan Freed up to dry. They say, you know, you got to sign the standard agreement. If you actually took Paola, you can't sign it, and you're going to be fired. Well, with Dick Clark, they crafted this agreement that he could sign because they were protecting themselves.
I see. So poor Alan Freed was kind of
He had a broken heart at this point. But as I say, I really believe he didn't understand the machinations. Because, you know, of course, here's, Alan Freed is the raw deal. And here we have Dick Clark, who, you know, he got that job because when Bandstand was syndicated, ABC did not want the host. The host was Bob Horn. And Bob Horn was the guy who really made that show. He started it in 52. And by 56, when ABC was sniffing for one of these dance shows to take nationally, Bob Horn was one of the only people in America who managed to go from pop standards into rock and roll and keep his credibility. Kids knew he loved the music, and he did. He was a musician at heart. Of course, he also wasn't the type that ABC wanted. He wasn't, photogenic necessarily and all this kind of stuff. So ABC, of course, the reason they picked Philadelphia was twofold. Number one is the owner of the Philadelphia station was also the owner of TV Guide, Triangle Publications. But the other thing is Philadelphia, close to New York, but didn't have the union problems. Because remember, by this time, there are local shows up and down the Eastern Seaboard. You've got Milt Grant in D.C., you've got Buddy Dean in Baltimore, you've got Gene Loving in Norfolk, and on the list goes. So they knew they wanted to do something nationally, and Philadelphia made sense. But what they said to Triangle is, we don't want Bob Horn. So what Triangle had to do was find a way to get Bob Horn out of there. And oh, they found a way, all right. They set him up. And they got rid of him, and that's another story. I can tell that sometime, but not mine be too long-winded. But anyhow, Clark was the perfectly coiffed person for this. Now, it kind of was a problem for fans that this guy didn't know or care or like rock and roll, but he sure looked the part, so that was Dick. And Dick, by the way, was, as far as making money off the music, guiltier than anyone had ever been, but he corporatized it. In other words, all of it was transparent to the standpoint of you want a record played on Bandstand? Well, you're going to give Sealark, my publishing company, part of the publishing. You know, you want to appear on Bandstand? Well, you're going to kick back your talent fee to my other company. You know, the bottom line is the Paola Hearing guys, the representatives, had a flow chart that was, you know, basically 12 feet tall, showing how Dick Clark got all this money. But it was not something that was illegal. It was codified. Now, ABC, Goldenson, said, you're going to divest of all these companies right away. And, you know, Clark complained about that to his dying day. But basically, he got off scot-free. But so I don't remember if there was another question in here.
Yeah. I have a question. excuse me. Gene Chandler had a song in 1975. I'm not going to ask this as my request. I have a request, but I was curious as a title. Was it called Tomorrow I Might Not Feel the Same? Or
that was not a hit. I have to
stop playing foolish games. Tomorrow I may not feel the same.
No. Let me come up with this.
I never heard it on AM, but I believe it was my older sister, now deceased, had a copy of it. And I thought it was a cool song, but I no longer have the record, and I was just.
I think this was the first thing he had on Shy Sound. So this would be like 78. And I think it is Tomorrow I may Not Feel the Same, but it was Shy Sound.
Oh, I May Not Feel the Same is the title?
Yeah, Tomorrow I may Not Feel the Same. Tomorrow I May Not Feel the Same. And he was a co-writer of that. And Carl Davis, his longtime producer going way, way back, produced that.
Well, thank you. And may I make a request, please?
Yeah, sure.
I've never heard the original version of Backdoor Man.
Oh.
I understand Willie Dixon did the original.
Okay. If it's on this computer, you'll get it. If not, I'll play it soon.
Well, thank you so much, Raleigh.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks again for taking my call.
My pleasure. I appreciate it.
Raleigh. So, take care.
Good deal. 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh. So, this is interesting. Maybe not to you, but it'll be interesting to me. I don't know how much you know about ocular migraines. They don't hurt, but they absolutely stop your vision for about 15 minutes. And I'm in the middle of one. So don't ask me to look anything up online, because right now I can't see it. So I think that, I don't know if I took a break this half hour, but we'll regroup while I see how I can find a workaround on WGN Radio.
Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Mama didn't lie. She didn't lie. Here comes that boy at the screens, making eyes at me again. Do they all think that I'm a toy to be played with by every boy? Will they all do think I will be caught by the wink of an eye? My mama didn't.
I'm Raleigh James, and Jan Bradley, 1963, takes me right back there. Yeah, listening to Jerry Blavitt. He decided to syndicate his CAM show, and he was on his little stations. And boy, I'll tell you, late at night listening to Jan Bradley, just the best. All right, we'll check out the news and be back in moments here on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Bobby James. Well, that was one of Lori's other requests. That's the flip side of the Monkey Time. Mama Didn't Know, 1963. Major Lance. Yeah, of course, Carl Davis produced it, and Curtis Mayfield wrote it, and yeah, and all like that. Just what you would expect. So happy to do that. Now we are talking. Let's see, with Fran in Austin. What's happening, Fran?
Oh, not a whole lot. Boy, I hope I'm glad you're. I hope you're feeling better.
Well, I'm starting to know I have a computer again. So yeah, it's just something I go through.
Oh, that's
regularly.
Good. That's yeah, good. I mean, you know, yeah, I can do it, but you don't have jaws over there.
Right. Exactly. No, it's much harder for me. Yes, you're right.
Yeah. Anyway, I enjoyed yours and Johnny's talk last night about soul from like 65 and 66.
Yeah.
And that was when I actually really started listening to soul. I mean, before that, I was one of the people that Johnny was talking about. I was, you know, I was into the Beatles and stuff like that. And of course, I liked soul when I heard it, but I didn't hear a lot as much of it as I would have wanted to. And somehow or another, I was flipping around, and I was, I'd listen to KGFJ once in a while, but about that time, I started listening to it more and more and more.
Yeah.
So I was one of the people, that he was talking about, the people that, kind of went over to soul music, and there was so much good then.
Yeah.
But I really enjoyed your conversation about that. And then earlier you were talking about Cars. And I was remembering that even in, I think it was 72, I was still in high school, and I was going out with this guy who was a, car freak. I mean, he just loved cars. His idea of a fun date was, after hours going and going to the car lots. But it was kind of fun because he would show me different cars, and then he would test me, okay, what's this car? What's that car? And it was kind of fun getting, kind of looking at all the cars and getting into them. But most of the cars now, I mean, they're just boxes.
Absolutely. I wish they were boxes, actually. They're more rounded, like I say, hatched by an overachieving chicken.
Oh, are they?
Yeah, they want to be aerodynamically smooth so they look like damn eggs. Not okay. Not okay. Very. I'll tell you, when they redesigned the Corvette in 2020, that's a good-looking car. It is. But from what I hear, it doesn't run, which, of course, is my experience with them, so I'm not too interested.
Yeah, all the cars I was looking at, I remember the one car I liked, and I don't know how it looks as far as, that kind of aesthetic, but I liked the shape of it. Was a Karmann Ghia.
Oh, yeah, well, that was hot for a minute there in the early 70s. You're right.
And I thought, okay, if I could drive, that's what I want, a Karmann Ghia.
All right, yeah. Yeah, why not? And, they look pretty snazzy.
I'm trying to remember what color, I had it all down to what color Karmann Ghia I wanted and the whole bit.
Well, interestingly, it was made by Volkswagen. So, so they were not that pricey then, that's for sure. But colors, anything but that yellow. So I hope yellow wasn't your favorite, but because that was.
Not at all. No, yeah. I'm not really a big fan of yellow anyway. Yeah. Not at least,
At least you don't think you are. But, yes, exactly.
Yeah, but it was kind of fun doing that, but it's, And then I had a friend in elementary school, and this was when I was first in elementary school, when I was going to the school for the blind before I went to the public school, and his big thing was, he could tell you, he'd hear the cars coming down the street, and he could tell you what they were.
From the engine sound.
Most of the time, he was right.
I love it. Yeah, the engine sounds were unique.
Yeah, and now they all sound the same except,
The electric cars that don't sound at all. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's, you know, well, the you know, that's one of the problems, but
yeah,
the organizations are trying to, you know, find, I guess, some way to get them to make some kind of sound.
Yes, absolutely.
Lots of luck, you know how they...
Right.
You know how they are with stuff for us. But it's not just for blind people. I mean, if you can't hear too well, you might not look and see the car. Or, I mean, I could see a number of situations where those quiet cars are not a good idea, not just because of, you know, blind people.
Yeah.
So...
No, absolutely. And, you know, conversely, as I say, often when you hear nothing on the inside at all, that causes people to easily get velocitized. They have no idea they're doing 75 miles
an hour. Oh, sure.
Yeah. Yeah. I can,
you know,
I can just
like
make
it hardly
right,
even moving.
Right. And then it's like, I can make this turn. Next thing you know, they're airborne. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, I don't know why cars have to go so fast anyway.
Well, that's a big argument. Yeah, I don't worry too much about the speed. Unfortunately, what I can't believe is, you know, I always say it's not the traffic laws. They're violating the laws of physics, that they want to be at that speed and tailgate, you know, things like that. It's like, you know, have some common sense on this. But they don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're not going to get... There, I mean, I remember this one guy. He kept trying to pull in front of my in front of us, and you know, just doing all this stuff. He was going to be ahead of us, you know.
Yeah.
We got there before he did. So.
Well, it's good he got there alive, because very often the answer
That's true.
Good. Yeah, exactly.
The way he was driving, we were trying to get, you know, as far away from him as we could.
Yeah. All right.
But,
well, I'm glad you confirmed the 1965 and 66, because I was right there with you. I much preferred the Soul Stations in those years.
Oh, yeah. It's too bad that I can't find any, and I understand why, because I think you've explained it before to me, or to all of us, but I would love to find some KGFJ air checks.
Yes, there are a few, but not many.
Now, I'm going to keep looking for them.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye out for that as well. And if I ever, you know, I mean, I know I've got stuff in my cassettes, but I may be dead before I go through that again. But if I ever come across one, you will have it.
All right. Great.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot.
All right. So, bye. Yeah, 65, everybody was wanting to, you know, tape the real Don Steele or Robert W. Morgan. But yeah, man, I'll tell you, the KGFJ air checks would be truly wonderful. But there are a number of things online from various Soul Stations. Now, you know, comparatively, not enough, but maybe more than you might expect. I know there's a Jim Wood air check. He was at KGFJ for a while, from 1970. So that I know is on there, but I'll look around. But yeah, and there KFWE was still kinda in the top 40 mode in March of 65 anyway, and I know Larry McCormick, they got one of him, and there's more. So I'll look. That'll be my assignment. And we've got Cindy in Norwich. Hello, Cindy.
Hi. Yeah, I've had migraine headaches since grammar school, and they thought, you know, I followed it every newspaper article about it I could find, and you know what they're caused by, right? Enlarged blood vessels.
Well,
in the brain.
I don't get migraines. I have ocular migraines. They're not the same thing.
Oh, well, I get those too, where you lose your vision and you lose your arms go numb and you swell up 10 times.
Well, yeah, you get the aura, that's for sure. So,
But then I take eudobarbital aspirin caffeine, and you take two initially and then one every half hour, and you don't get the pain or anything.
Yeah, I've never had the pain, and they always resolve within 15. Right, and they always resolve within 15 minutes. So,
okay, yeah. You're okay. But then the other thing I wanted to talk about, a couple things.
Yeah.
But I mean, about 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, PBS had a documentary about coyotes, but they were just talking about this not too long ago. The woman that called, there's a kind of coyote that's a cross between a wolf and a coyote.
Yeah, there is.
And that's the bigger animal.
Yeah, they call it a coy wolf.
Yeah.
And it's it's a gray wolf. But, you see this, I guess, more in Canada than you do in the States.
Well, you know what happened to me? Well, I saw one at the Salvation Army in Norge about maybe 5 years ago.
Uh-huh.
I was dropping something off, and it was there, and I just got in my car. And then, it was around May or June, I went to my third cousin, times removed. I have no mind for that. But anyhow, my third cousin, she's 14. But anyhow, she graduated from grammar school in Villa Park. And then I came home and, you know, we went out to dinner, and I came home and I couldn't sleep. So around 2 a.m, I went in the living room and got my charger out of the plug for my tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So I looked out the window, my front window, and there it was walking down the street, and I looked, is someone walking their dog at 2, and it was the coyote.
Mm-hmm.
And the neighbors had been worried about it because they have little dogs, and I told my neighbor to get mace if you're approached by it, you know, what walking your dog. But the other thing I wanted to, I always got to take my lorazepam for something, you know, it's just always something. But then, today I got kicked out of Charles Schwab for the second time.
Oh, no, that's great. What did you do?
Well, the first time I got kicked out by them, I had a real lot of money. And I remodeled my house and had a dental bill and bought a car. Remodeled my house.
Okay. All right.
So I could stay here and live here. But then, I would call them up with different questions,
uh-huh.
and I didn't know they weren't that kind of company where you don't call them and ask them questions.
Yes.
And they kept saying to me, can we take over your money and manage it for you? You know, and I would say, no, I'm an accountant. I know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's why they kicked me out.
Okay.
So then I went over to TD Ameritrade, and they got bought out by them. So now they're kicking out people that don't have that much money. You know, they want someone with $500,000 in their account, and they don't.
All right. So this wasn't a story where you walked in and they physically asked you to leave.
No.
Okay.
That's the way I thought.
All right. See, because I was envisioning a scene that was really going to be good, but that's all right. All right.
So now, you know, I had an account at Vanguard that I closed out, and I left them because they had, I'm a day trader, and they had fees at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So now I have the account there, and I'm so experienced with this that I just did it in about an hour. I went back to them, and they're going to move my money out in about 5 days.
Mm.
So, you know, 5 days without my day trading. You know, I need my day trading to, you know, all my money just goes for property. And the one thing, I love WGN, I really do, but not on the weekend before 12 o'clock.
Okay, well, I've never been up before 12 o'clock, so I can't comment. I've never been up before the crack of noon.
It's one retired policeman that talks about all these restaurants he goes to and all these food he eats and all the, And who could go out? I mean, what lower middle class person could go out to a restaurant anymore? And just, you know, if I don't have my day trading to do in the morning, you know, Monday through Friday, and I have WGN on, it just...
Yeah, I don't know, but you're doing something right because you have enough money that you've got in an investment, so good for you. And John says I better shut up right now, so I'm going to, and call me soon. Thanks, Cindy.
Okay,
bye. All right, so we'll pick it up right there on WGN Radio.
Someone whispered, please adore me. And when I looked, the moon had turned to gold. Blue moon.
Blue, blue.
Now I
WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That's my all-time favorite version of Blue Moon on Shamal. That's Shamal number one. There never was a Shamal number two. I've never found out what this record label is about. That's the Vitones, V-I-Tones. I never found out who they were. With the Billy Harrigan Quartet, not sure about that either. But God knows I've been looking. So every time I play it, and you know, you have to pay Sound Exchange and all that, I think, yeah, like Shamal Records going to get any royalties from this? No one can find them. All right, so there you have it. But I saw Cleveland Dennis thought, since it's a Blue Moon night, we should play the Marcells. The hell with the Marcells when I got the Vitones. All right, so we got about a minute left, and that goes to Jim in Aurora, Local Wolves. So, all right, actually, I've got about 10 seconds. Wolf sighting in 10 seconds, or will you call me back tomorrow night? Okay, well, I think Jim left us, so there, it's a deal now. Stephanie and Madison, Cleveland Dennis, I hope you will call me back tomorrow night, because until then, that's a wrap. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air, and we thank John for screening your calls, but above all, I thank you for calling. Yeah, you make the show a pleasure to do, and it's easier, too, when you call, so do it again tomorrow night, 21 hours from now. Until then, I'm Raleigh James, it's WGN Radio.